This morning we're going to be in a passage in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And as we get into that, I want to start off by saying, I want you to stop and think for a minute. I want you to be selfish today. Now, that's hard for a pastor to say, but I want you to be selfish in the fact that I want you to think about nobody else but yourself today. I want you to think about how this message might apply to you. I want you to think about what you need to do. I want you to think about how God's speaking to you. I want you to think about this being for you. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to hit everybody the same way, but in this passage, I believe that God has something for us that we need to understand, that we're not here by accident. We're not here just by having free time. We are here by the providence of God, and so we want to make sure we understand that. So this morning, as I look into this passage, I want you to stop and think about a time when you were selected to maybe be on a team, or you were given a job, or you were put in a position that you felt excited, you felt privileged, you felt honored, but at the same time you were stressed and maybe even confused and maybe overpowered by the responsibilities. I want you to think about some situation like that. Because today, I think as we read this passage, we're going to understand that the position we've been given is going to cause those same things. And so if you would, I'm going to back up to verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. It said, "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. The world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Let's pray. God, we lift up Your Word. We pray that Your Spirit would move. We pray that we would understand. God, but without You, we will be nothing. We can do nothing. Lord, I pray You would take away all of our distractions. Lord, help us to focus on what it is You have for us. Lord, we want to learn from You. We want to come to know You more, that we can love You more. Lord, may we experience Your presence this morning as we get into Your Word. In Your name we pray. Amen. I can remember years ago when I was first hired as a youth pastor. It's been 30 plus years. And I can remember thinking, man, what a blessing that God had called me into the ministry. And 3 seconds later, I began to panic. Because I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. You know, God, what? If ever God messed up, I was afraid that was the time. And He never has. He's been faithful ever since. But I can remember thinking, as I'm sitting in that interview, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got the schooling. I've went to the classes. I've wrote the papers. I've studied. I've done the things for this position. But I began to think about the responsibilities of kids coming into the youth group and me trying to share the gospel with them. And thinking about the heavy responsibility that was there. And I began to think about that. And it had just started. I hadn't even had a youth meeting yet. And I was so stressed because I did not feel like I was going to be capable of doing that. And so as I began to go into that ministry, I can look and I can see all of the stress was right. Because everything I learned in those books, in those classes, man, they don't prepare you for what you're going to deal with. But when we've been put in a position that puts that pressure on us, that maybe we're not comfortable doing, maybe we've never done what we're put on in that position to do. If it's a job and you've been promoted and all of a sudden you're in a position you've never been in before and you're doing things that you've never had to do before, you begin to get stressed. Or maybe you're on a team and you're bumped up to varsity and now you've got all this pressure on you and And all of the things, when we're put into a position like that, we begin to think, okay, now I've got to step up. But really, you just be who you are because God has put you in that position for a reason. As we look at this scripture, I think this is one of those scriptures that so many people misunderstand. And I'm talking about verse 12. Because in that verse, it said, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm a child of God, right? Well, the Bible says that the demons believe and tremble, and they are not children of God. There is more in this verse than just saying, you just have to believe that God's out there and you're a Christian. No, that's not the case. You have to do these two things, and these two things are synonymous, to believe and receive. You have to accept who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and you have to believe that in a way that it affects your life. You have to receive Him into your life to where He becomes the Lord of your life. If you believe Him and receive Him, then you become a child of God. Just believing He's out there doesn't make you a child of God. What we have to understand for us today is that you have to answer this question. Because it says, as many as received Him and believed Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. So the question for the day is, are you a child of God? Now, if all you do is believe in Him, like I said, I'm sorry, that's not what it means. But if you've believed in Him and received Him into your heart, and you've asked Him for forgiveness, and you turned your life over to Him, then you became a child of God. And I'm sure that probably not everybody within the sound of my voice, whether sitting in this sanctuary or on Facebook, is not a child of God. I pray that they would become that, maybe even today. But for just a moment, just for the next few minutes, I want to assume that everyone that's listening to me is a child of God. And I'll explain that later. But I want to, at this time, I want you to ask yourself, am I truly a child of God or do I just believe? Am I a child of God? Like I said, we're going to assume right now that everybody is. Well, Jesus says, through John, the Spirit says through John that you have to be born again. He tells Nicodemus, you got to be born again. There has to be a change in your life. You have to be born again through the Holy Spirit. We learn that in John 3. But today I want us to assume, like I said, that everybody here is a Christian. Now I want you to think. There are some things as we look at this passage that you have to be. And this is not to say, oh, well, you're not this, you're not this, you're not this, and so are you. No, that's not what this message is about. This message is about saying, here's what God desires. Because if you're going to be a child of God, then some things have to happen. I have in my family 6 children, 3 of which are biological, 3 of which are married in. But they are all my children. They have come to a point to where they've joined my family. Have you come to a point where you've joined the family of Jesus Christ? Have you joined the family of God to where you have been given the right to be called a child of God? Think about that privilege and ask yourself, have I done that? Because if you have, then this is what God is calling us. We would have to be a believer. Because He says, to those who believe, become children of God. So if you're a child of God, then you're a believer. But like I said, a believer is more than just knowing that He's out there. understanding that there is a power out there that we call God, and He's in control. It's more than that. It's believing and receiving. It's active. Are you an active believer? Well, I come to church every week, Pastor. I read my Bible. Is that an active believer? Coming to church, does that make you an active believer? No, not anymore. Than walking into a garage makes you a car. I mean, that's really what some people think. Well, if I go to church, that's where Christians go, so I'm a Christian. If I go stand in the garage, I'm a car because that's where cars go. That's the mentality that so many people have today in this world. I'm a good person. I go to church. I believe that there's a God. I even talk to Him when things are going bad. So that makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. You have to be a believer, and a believer is active. It's that understanding who God is. It's knowing who God is, but it's acting on who God is. It is having a faith in Him to where you do things based on God. Not on logic, not on situations, but on God. We have to be a believer and active in our faith. Also, we have to go to the next step here. We have to reflect the image of God. Oh, wow, that just got a lot harder. Did it really? If our first thought is, you know, we're supposed to reflect the image of God, because a child of God should reflect the image of God. The more I'm around God in His Word, in time of prayer, in songs of praise, the more I'm with Him, the more I become like Him. My kids all like sports. I don't know why. They didn't have a choice. They were born that way. No, because when they were born, every time we went anywhere, I was taking them to a ball game. We were going somewhere. We were in a gymnasium. We were on a baseball field. We were at a football field. And praise God for all the youth that raised my kids. Because when I go to a ball game, somebody grabbed this one and take them. Somebody grabbed that one and take them. And they would be gone. But they were raised around sports. Because I was raised around sports. They were raised around sports, and so they began to take on a little bit of that image, if you would, of loving sports. They went a little over the deep end. They run half marathons and things like that, and they didn't get that from me. But knowing and liking sports, they got from me, because that's what I always did. The more you spend time around the Father, the more you're going to like what He does. The more you're going to love what God loves, the more you're going to hate what God hates. Oh, well, Pastor, does God really hate anything? Yes, He hates sin. And today, I think that's our problem, is because we don't see God hating anything. And so if sin is just that bad thing out there, well, you know, it's just bad. It's not terrible. It's terrible. It nailed Jesus to the cross. And if we think it's just not a good thing, then we are wrong. Because sin is evil. Sin is wicked. We don't like to put those words together. Because I know I sin, and I hate to think that I'm wicked or evil. But the Bible says sin is wicked and evil. And if I'm going to accept that into my life, then I'm accepting that wickedness and that evil in my life. If I'm going to take on and become a child of God. It says become. It doesn't happen immediately. We become a child of God immediately, yes. But His image we take on by the more time we spend with Him. How well do we reflect the image of God? Is told by how much time we spend with Him. So we're to be active. And we're to reflect His image through kindness and compassion and love and forgiveness, and the things that He shows to us, we're to show to other people. But also, When we become children of God, those who believe in His name, those who receive Him, receive His mission. Jesus, when He came to earth, He said, "I must be about my Father's business." We know that He came to seek and to save the lost. If that's the Father's business, if that's the Father's mission, and it is, because in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the great commission that He gives to us is to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. If you're a child of God, that is your mission. And we think sometimes that, well, God has given me this mission to do this or to do that, and we kind of pick out the ones we want. We are on a rescue mission. Now, there's mission trips that I've been on or that other people have been on, some of you have been on or going on, that you do certain things. You know, I know some have built buildings and painted and moved rocks and done so many different things on mission trips, and those are all good. We are called to do those things. But we are on a rescue mission first, to rescue the lost. None of us want that rescue mission. I've never been in the military, and I know they'll constantly, you know, in movies they'll say, "Okay, I need a volunteer to do this." And man, some guy's hand will go up, and he'll go on that rescue mission. And he'll do what he's supposed to do, putting his life in danger, going into a situation that you and I, if we're not in the military, can only just dream about. And he'll step up and he'll go do those things. Because that's the mission that needs to be done, and it's a rescue mission. If he doesn't do it, those people aren't coming back. That's the mission we're on. If you and I don't seek to save the lost, and yes, we cannot save them, but God wants to use us to do that. And if we don't do that, God says, "I need somebody to go on a rescue mission." No. I just want to preach behind the pulpit. God sends us on a rescue mission because if we're not going to go, that may be how He wants to reach that person. You can reach people that I can't reach. I may reach somebody that you can't reach. But you and I are both called on a rescue mission. And a rescue mission means if we don't go, people die. That's where we're at. But we don't like to look at it that way. But if we're a child of God, then we've got to be about our Father's business. And that is His business. So we need to be active. We need to reflect His image. We need to be on that rescue mission. And this next one, I love this. He says that He gave the right to become children of God. So many times people say, "Well, I'm a child of God." Yes, you are, but you're part of the children of God. That means you're not by yourself. That means you don't have to go into this rescue mission by yourself. We are a part of the family of God. Sang that song my whole life. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And no, I'm not going to sing it. You don't want to go there. But we sing that song and we think about that. And we're glad we're a part of the family of God, but are we a part of the family of God? Well, I come in and I sit down with the family of God every Sunday. And then I get up and I leave. Is that being a part of the family? Think about your own family. Maybe as you were growing up, maybe right now, you had chores, you had things you had to do, maybe things you didn't really want to do, but as a part of the family, that's what you did. Maybe you set the table, maybe you clean the dishes, maybe you help cook, maybe you take out the trash, maybe you mow the yard. As a part of the family, you have things that you have to do that you may not like. But you are never alone, because that other person is doing their part, and you're doing your part. And together it all gets done. The Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ, that Jesus is the head and us as Christians are the body. And there are some parts that are the hand and the ear and the eye and the big toe. And sometimes I feel like I'm the little toe that's getting stumped all the time. But God has made each part to complete the whole. You are special in a part of the family of God. You have to do your part, that's one thing. But not only that, you've got other people there. Do not try to be a Lone Ranger Christian. It's not going to work. He doesn't call you to be the only one out there. Paul, through all of his ministry, always had somebody else with him. He would have Barnabas. He would have so many different people with him. He was never alone. Even in prison, he was never alone. There were other people in the family of God that were there with him. Understand, you're never alone. So you seek to do your part because that's what you do. That's the privilege of being one of the children of God. You're a part of that body. You're a part of that unit. And then lastly, I love this more than anything. It said, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Think about this for just a moment. When you became a children of God, when I came down out of the choir loft and came down and prayed and asked Christ into my heart, that was all I did. He gave me the right to be called a child of God. He called you on the day that you accepted Christ. And like I said, we're assuming that everybody here is a Christian, just for a moment. He called you. Specifically you. He loved you enough to send Jesus to die on the cross. He wants you to serve Him. He called you specifically to be a part of that family. He did. You know, when we were having kids, we ended up with the first one being a boy. The second one being a boy. Third one, oh my goodness. She was an angel. I was expecting a girl and she was an angel. But I didn't have any choice. As a father, I didn't have a choice. I'm just saying that that's a good thing and a bad thing, because having that baby girl last was great. But having that baby girl last stinks, because the last one to leave is that baby girl. As a father, I had no choice what kids were coming into my family and what order. But God chose you at just the right time. He called you to be a part of His family. He said, I want you to be a part of my family. I love you so much. I want you to be a part of my family. That's what He's called you to do. Think of that. Not only did He call you, but He empowered you. On the day that you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you and dwells within you forever. It begins your eternal life right then with Jesus. You don't have to wait till you die to go to heaven to be with Jesus. We get to walk with Him every day. We have the Holy Spirit within us every single day. He's empowered us. My kids have what power that would be to have the name of Ewing as they were growing up. And that probably wasn't a real good thing. Maybe it was, I don't know. But that was all the power they got from me. Wasn't much. But think of the power you got when you said, yes, Lord, I want to receive You into my heart. I want to become Your child. And He gave you that right. He gave you that power. He chose you. He brought you in. He put the Holy Spirit in you. And He empowered you to do the things He's called you to do. That's where you are. My question goes back to, are you truly a child of God? So now we're going to drop that idea, assuming that everyone's a child of God, because we know that's not the case. We know if you are a child of God, then you are an active believer. You reflect the image of God. You're on the same rescue mission as Him. You're a part of His family, and He has empowered you and called you to be His child. But we also know that if you're not, if you've never received Him, if you've never been born again, then you are not a child of God. But today, as many as want to be a child of God, as many as will receive Him and believe in His name, accept Him as their Lord and Savior, He gives the right to become a child of God. You've got a decision to make. Man, He's called us. Do you believe in Him? I mean, really believe in Him? Or do you just believe in Him? Have you really received Him into your life? No, He's not really a part of my life. He's not. My life is not surrendered to Him. My life is not given to Him. I just know He's there. Today's a chance to receive Him and believe in Him and to be born again. Not of blood, not of flesh, not of the will of man, but because God loves you. You have that opportunity today. Don't leave this place without doing that. Because you have that opportunity to do things that no other human that doesn't know Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to live a life of faith. A non-Christian can't do that. As Christians, you should be doing that. I should be doing that. I should be actively showing my faith. It should be an ongoing thing that people see in my life and understand there's something real about what He believes. He doesn't just believe that book. There's something beyond the pages of that book that changed his life or that changed her life. Is that the way we believe? Be a believer. Be an image bearer. Man. If you're not a child of God, you can fake it. Man, I faked it for a lot of years. I claimed that I was a Christian. I did the things that I thought Christians were supposed to do. I was in all the right places. I said all the right things. I sung all the right songs. But I did not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'm not a very good image bearer. But He's still working on me. I love that song. He's still working on me to make me what He wants me to be. We've got to be on a mission. A rescue mission. If you are the one that's sitting here today and you've never accepted Christ, then you're the one that needs rescue. I don't know how else to say it. But that you need to come to know Jesus Christ. Because we know that we need rescued. Now some people may say, I'm doing fine. I don't need saved. I don't need rescued. I'm getting by fine in this life. Yeah, sometimes non-Christians get by better financially and materially in this life than Christians. But there's going to come a day. And that day is going to come. And when that day comes, the getting by days are over. Because I will not even be getting by. But by the grace of God, He will take me home. And if you don't think you need saved, then we need to read some more of the book. Because it says in those first few verses that He created the world. He came into the world and those that they did, the world didn't know Him. and his own, the Jews that were there, that he came, they had read all the scriptures. They knew that the Messiah was supposed to come, and they still didn't believe in who he was. They didn't receive him, but he loved them anyway and said, as many as received him. Today, understand, if you don't think you need saved, then there's a verse in there that says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Jesus took the death when we receive him, and we become a child of God. Christians, we're on that mission. Do not assume anybody is saved. Do not assume anybody is saved. I don't care. I went to church. I was in the choir. I sang in groups. I did all these things, and I was not saved. And there were people that didn't assume I was saved. And they prayed for me. And by the grace of God, He saved me. Don't assume that any person out there is not a part of your rescue mission. If they're saved, then great. If they're not, then they're a part of your mission. Let's be a family of a child of God, the children of God, empowered and called. You have the chance to become a child of God today. If you've never accepted Him, today's the day. You can come forward. I'll pray with you. You can pray right where you're at. And you can ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, to forgive your sins and become a child of God. You're not going to be perfect. None of us are. There are times when my kids would fight tooth and nail. They did not agree. They did not get along. But when the fight was over, they were still brother and sister. We are not going to be perfect. But become a child of God. Become a part of that family. And know that He wants to empower you. So wherever you're at today, I don't know. It's not really my job. My job is to read the Scripture and give you what God has laid on my heart. Man, I hope you're in that group of many. But as many as received Him, I hope you're in that group. If you are, you have the right. You have the right. When you have the right, why do you not do it? Somebody gives you the right to do something. They expect you to do it. You have the right to do something. Do it. You have the right to become the children of God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you. I praise you for who you are. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you today. That they would receive you and believe in you. Lord, for those of us that are not on the mission, not very reflecting a very good image, the things that we're messing up on, God, I need your help. Watch over us. Draw us to be what you called us to be, God. We lift this time to you and pray that you would move among us. In your precious name I pray. Amen.